pastors, elders, deacons, and especially in my role as a pastor, when you have a funeral on a Friday, you can have a wedding on a Saturday, and you can have baptisms on a Sunday. And life is a roller coaster. And the scripture calls to people of high caliber, of godly leadership, to lead God's church well, to lead God's church with compassion, with care, with love among them. And I know from nearly 30 years of experience of leadership, of ministry, how difficult that can be. There is no bigger pressure, I think personally, on anyone else in the whole of life. And tell me if I'm arrogant by saying this, but ministers especially, leaders in churches are expecting not only to be good leaders, managers, to be completely incredible visionary people, to have everything together, but alongside that, to live a godly life, to have a family that is fantastic, serving the Lord day and night, a wife that never leaves the church, and everything else. The pressure to be perfect, I don't think there is on anyone else, but on the leadership of the church, including the pastor. Now, I'm not asking for mercy, and I'm not putting myself onto a, oh, poor Emilian, he needs a hug after this. That's not what this is all about. God's leadership has been appointed by him with a specific reason to lead God's church well. But the main calling, it is to love and shepherd God's people. And we come now to a passage. I wonder if I could have the PowerPoint. Thank you, Jeffrey. To a passage in the scripture where Peter doesn't deal with whether we should have deacons or elders or blah, 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 or what kind of leadership. The scripture is not and is never been clear of what kind of leadership the church has to have. It's a pattern of some sort, and the church is free to choose which pattern suits it best according to the context in which it serves, ministers, and has its vision to fulfill a mission to fulfill for God. So Peter comes with a very big warning in this chapter 5. Of his letter, and he says, you know the times you live in, very difficult times. Christians are persecuted, are martyred, are killed for their faith. You need to provide a godly leadership. So this is where Peter's coming from. He is not dealing at the moment with who are the elders and what they do, whether they should have elders or they shouldn't have deacons or whatever. He gives a warning to the elders, to the leaders of the church, saying, be careful how you live your lives. At the end of the day, when I read through this scripture, I don't find the office of elder, of pastor, of deacons, so much an office of to do stuff as to be a godly person. It is the first and foremost and most important quality and criteria to which God calls people to lead his church. Godly person. Out of that follows and flows gifting of leading, of teaching, of doing all sorts of other things, of prophesying, of being an apostle, and doing so many other stuff. But the main criteria to me personally, as I understand it from scripture, it is to have godly leadership, is to have people of God who come and lead the church. Challenging times call for great leaders. The habits of a vigorous mind, someone said, are forming contending with difficulties. And then he said this, great necessities call out great virtues. This is Churchill, bless him. We generally choose our leaders in times of peace, but we discover our true leaders in difficult times. Debbie, just pray for Theresa May. Whew. When you think I'm bragging now, but when I went 2 weeks ago and I sat with her at the table there at the Parliament, I could see the worry on their faces. I could see the agony that they going through. If you think that they are just politicians and they don't listen, they don't care, let me tell you, I saw another perspective of them being with them so close and sharing that breakfast with them into that big, massive hall. They are worried. They are trying to do what is right for the people, and they also think of God too. Remember, we are at a prayer meeting that morning in there, whenever I went, a couple of months ago, 3 months ago. We need to pray for our leaders. Great leaders are formed and shaped in very difficult times. In 1998, Time magazine devoted an issue of the 100 most important people of the 20th century, a copy that I still keep in my office. And they started creating 5 different categories. They named 20 most great leaders. And the article said this: political history of the 20th century can be written as the biographies of 6 men. Lenin, Stalin, Hitler, Mao Zedong, Franklin Roosevelt, and Winston Churchill. Churchill, the first 4 were totalitarians, were absolute anarchists, were dictators. The other 2, Roosevelt and Churchill, different from them in being Democrats. And Churchill different from Roosevelt. While both were war leaders, Churchill was uniquely stirred by the challenge of war and found his fulfillment in leading the democracies to victory. In 1942, when all seemed gloom and doom, a great leader was formed in the shape of Churchill in this country. And ringing the American president at the time, over the phone, he said these words to him. A never optimist, a never always an encourager, Churchill said, "We have not journeyed all this way across the centuries, across the oceans, across the mountains, across the prairies, because we are made of sugar candy." The church has not marched across the century up to this point to give up, to give in, because they are not made of sugar candy. They are made of the Holy Spirit of God, who marches with them and ahead of them. That's why it is important to have a great leadership, a godly leadership in this church. And thinking of this church, it's about 155 years now, 156 years old. I am the 17th minister, if I count it right, of this church. Godly people who went before us, who served God for their own generation, in their own time, with their own abilities and gifting. And I'm part of that incredible plethora of godly people who serve here, from ministers to elders to deacons to life deacons. This church had one time or another. People like you who serve faithfully for many, many years in this church. Leadership of the church. I want to say 4 or 5 things before I go into the passage of 1 Peter. Leadership of the church is always plural. It's no one-man band. It's not the pastor because we pay him. It is plural. We as Baptists especially believe of the priesthood of all believers. We all have a gift with which God has called us to serve him through. It is not the guy or the girl at the front being paid to do all the stuff. And we applaud him. It is mixed. Some of you will agree with this, some of you, we don't. It is both male and female. In the context of the New Testament, eldership, as you will find here, or whatever that name might mean, and whatever eldership really means, for that time, it was all male, because the society was very male. Paul was, and Peter and all the other apostles were very male-oriented, serving in a male-oriented and focused society. Let me tell you something, if you don't believe it. The biggest church in the world these days in Australia. That biggest church in the world, it is governed by 12 elders ladies. And they do incredible, incredible job. Every single context has to be taken separately and apply God's word to it. I really believe the leadership is male and female together. It's not hierarchical. Different gifts and abilities, but the same status in Christ. I might be pastor because that's the gift he's given me. I don't expect all of you to be pastors, but I do believe that God has given you a gift to serve him with in through his fellowship in the world that he's called you to live in. It is flexible. Different leadership is required to different times. Sometimes you need a bunch of 25 deacons and 73 elders. Sometimes you only need 2 deacons and probably no elders, or 7 elders and no deacons. It is very, very flexible. The New Testament doesn't have a pattern. I wish it was, and given us a pattern where it says, oh, you have to have 23 elders doing that, 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 and you have to have 73 deacons doing that, 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 and then you have the pastor who does that, that, that. There's no pattern whatsoever. You'll need to go a long way to convince me that there is a pattern of leadership for the church that is the best. The best pattern of leadership is to be flexible, to adapt it to the context and the mission and the vision that God has given it. If we have widows among them, then let's raise up leaders, deacons, who will go and serve those widows and orphans and so on. If we need a teaching ministry that the church needs, then let's raise up elders and so on. So Peter comes and he writes to these wonderful gathered leaders of the New Testament era, those who were persecuted in the church, and he says to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers. Now, I want to specify from the very beginning three key issues. He writes to the elders. The elders, nobody knows, and still nobody knows, who are really the, we think, the role of the elders is to have oversee spiritually. To oversee the church from a spiritual point of view. And the deacons are more with everyday stuff. It puts a very clear division between the spiritual and the physical and the material, what is needs to be done. I don't think the scripture is that quite clear on that. In this, especially in this particular passage here, elders, the word elder that you see there highlighted in yellow with the one shepherds and the one overseas, they all are the same three words in the original language. Elders, elders, elders. The word elders also could be translated in three other things. Presbyters, which some churches have, presbyteros, or bishops, overseas. Some churches, like we know the most common in our country is the Anglican Church, who has the overseas, the bishops. Some churches refuse to have either of them, just function all with deacons, or with elders, or with both, or no bishops, or whatever. We as Baptists, some churches choose to have deacons, elders, and of course we don't have a bishop, but we have Phil Jump, who is our beloved Baptist brother. But they don't call him a bishop. Some churches have only deacons and so on. This is not the matter here in this passage. The passage deals with the encouragement that Peter wants to give to them. But I just wanted to bring that kind of thought to you as we go and discuss this. Let's focus just very briefly on the word elder. Keep watch yourself and all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you. It seems to be whatever the word elder means, two given abilities. One is to oversee, and the other one is to love the flock, is to shepherd. Again, I come to the point I made earlier that the role of an elder is to be more than to do. Is to oversee the vision, if you want the spiritual affair of the church, as it is to shepherd, to love, to care, to make sure that people are looked after. This is one mark of the church, it goes through all of this, as you go through all of the scripture, but especially in Peter's letter to these godly people, that the church of God, it is led by very mature, spiritually godly people who are on fire for God, who absolutely love Him, who want to serve Him at all costs. And Peter says, I want you to be very careful the way you live your lives, because the life is very difficult at the moment. And I want you to be taking good care of God's people, loving them, shepherding them, overseeing the affairs of the church spiritually, or whatever you want to do, but make sure you love the people. That's what basically says, because He loved them through His blood. They are bought by Christ the great shepherd with His blood. There was this story of a guide who went with Israel to Israel with a group of people, and as he was on this big bus, he was showing the tourists, he was showing a lovely field with this lovely sheep, And he says, oh, look how lovely the shepherd is shepherding the sheep, and look how lovely he takes care of them, and look how he talks to them, and look how he calls them, and they all come and follow him, and lovely. And they move on. And then as she was describing and telling them this, they move on and they go to another field. And there was the shepherd who was really running after the sheep and chasing them and trying to catch them and throwing stones at them and giving one of those big shepherd sticks, trying to get them and turn them around and really shouting and having a go at them. And this guy, he just lost the focus, and he said to the bus driver, well, you stop the bus. I need to go and talk to the shepherd because it's not right. So he goes and says, goes and stops the bus, goes, talks to the shepherd and says, what are you doing, man? You know, I just got a group of lovely young people here, teaching them about God's love and showing them illustrations about how a shepherd should look after his flock and care for it. And you do this, you beat the sheep, you challenge them, you know, you run after them, you curse them, you shout at them, whatever. I said, well, sorry to say, but I'm not the shepherd, I'm the butcher. And Peter says, you've got to look out and watch out that those of you who are called the elders, you follow Christ's love into your life and ministry. It's a warning sign that God calls people to lead his church in with the love and with the grace that God brings to his people. So he calls them to have two great attitudes. Their attitudes to their calling, in other words, to their gifting almost, to attitudes to their work. Not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. How many of us have seen, even including pastors, who do this, what they do, because they want their authority, they want control, they want power, rather than because they love the people of God. They want to be here because they want the office, they want the title. Peter says, don't you even dare to shepherd in that way. You do it because you are willing, because there is a calling within that, that stirs your heart for the people of God, that you love them so much that you want to care for them. Secondly, there is this, I know somebody once said that to be an elder, to be a deacon, to be a leader of God's church, it demands the wisdom of Solomon, the patience of Job, the strength of Samson, the courage of Daniel, the kingly character of David, the administrative ability of Nehemiah, to say nothing of the compassion of Hosea or the battlefield brilliance of Joshua. I've got many more than all that. Thank God for leaders who have volunteer spirit. And we need to talk and pray to God that he will deliver, he will bring to us godly people at all times. And I think we are very grateful to God over the 155 years that this church has had very godly men and women who have led with according to his will and not out of gain, which takes me to the second attitude that Peter writes. He says, you're not doing it because you want the money, you want the wages, but because you are eager. I quite like that translation, eager to serve. In another one says, but because you are passionate to serve. And in the message says, you are dying to serve. There is nothing wrong with receiving money for ministry, let me say that. I've got a mortgage like everybody else. And it's a perfect biblical principle. But if money is the primary motive, there's something is really badly wrong. Terribly wrong. We need godly people to continue the work that the Lord has given to his church. And certainly, his attitude towards people, and this is very, very, very important. Debbie already mentioned it in her prayer here. No lording it over those entrusted to you. Oh, well, but, you know, I'm a deacon now, I'm an elder, I'm a whatever I am. But being examples to the flock, again. Some of you will think the pastor is paid to preach, to teach, to do that, to do the other, to do the other. I have the privilege to say, I've never said this before anyone else, to say that I am privileged to be paid in order to live a godly life among you and before you. And probably that's the hardest job ever. Being example to the flock. That's the quality that is required. Again, primarily. There are three kinds of leadership. There's demand leadership. There is command leadership. Demand leadership says, do what I say because I'm in charge here. I'm the big boss. Command leadership says, follow my example. Come and follow me. A good elder, pastor, deacon, a good leader doesn't demand leadership. Rather, by the quality of his or her life, commands it. Such a man or woman is easy to follow. His life backs up what he says. His life, not his achievements. Not his degrees. Not his incredible experience. But his life lived as a godly person or her life. Nothing inspires confidence in a time of difficulty more than a godly man or woman who cheerfully shows the way in hope and with reality in their lives. And finally, then Peter says to them, hey, if you do this, if you show this kind of attitude, and you exercise your calling as a leader of God's church, then let me tell you that when the chief shepherd of the sheep appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Will never fade away. You know, when I read this verse again, preparing for this, I shuddered. I nearly cried. What a huge responsibility and incredible risk God has taken with me, as has taken with the leaders of this church, as has taken with us, as leading his mission and vision together of the church here at LBC. We give thanks to God for 155, 56 years together. And we want to continue to provide godly leadership, that this church will continue to be a witness to God's glory. The future of the church, okay, it depends on Christ, but it also of the local church stands on godly leadership and depends 100% of it. As much as I would be tempted to say skillful leadership, I'll put that alongside too, but more importantly, it is godly leadership. We might not be the church that has all the bells and whistles, but let me say it again, I am very proud to be your pastor. Because I really know that we are a loving church. Well, not 100%, but we're nearly there. We are human beings. And that's what matters most. A godly church, a loving church, can only be spurred on, led on, and come out of a godly leadership that God has appointed. And when that great shepherd will come, you and I will have our reward. Having said that, we're going to go and share together in communion. But I wonder if we've got the leaders of the church, deacons, and we've got David here. Just come, just for a couple of minutes, come up here. Those of you who are here, deacons and David as an elder, just come up here and I want you to see who they are and just to pray for them very briefly, including the church secretary and the treasurer. So come on up, guys. Come on up.